Perek Tes, Tiferes Yisrael Perek Tes. Okay, let's see. Acher shenizbar lecha dvarim eil. What things explained? Well, we spent the last three prakim explaining that mitzvahs work, that somehow mitzvahs work. How they work, why they work, the Maharal pushed us away from getting stuck on that, but they work. We have to know that they work. But the truth is, we actually asked a couple of questions. If we go back a couple of prakim to the beginning of really Perek Vav, there were a couple of questions that we asked, and we really only focused on answering one of them. And tonight we're going to begin to answer the other question. So, Acher shenizbar lecha dvarim elu, nivar od hasha'ela harishona. Let's go back to the first question. The second question that we had asked, we spent the last three prakim answering. What was the question? The question was, how do mitzvos work if we don't understand how they work? And the Maharal told us, don't get stuck on that. The fact that you don't understand how they work doesn't deny their ability to work. The same way that if you don't understand how a lot of things work, right? They still work. You've experienced it in this world. You know that it works. So the same thing is true with Torah and mitzvahs. It absolutely works. And our job is not to figure it out, but our job is to be mevatel ourselves to the gzeiras hamelech. While at the same time, Maharal gave us permission, always, you know, derech agav, to try to explore the reasons behind mitzvahs. But there was another question that he said philosophers are very bothered by. And that is the question, how does a physical act impact my spiritual existence? How does doing something of this world, shaking a palm branch, tying a leather box to my arm, how does that permanently impact forever? How does that shape and mold and earn my portion in a world that is otherworldly? The question that we ask, Eich yikne ha'odam ha'atzlacha al yedei maisa ha'torah. How does a person acquire success, and by success he means eternal success, hatzlacha nitzchis, how does a person acquire eternal success, what we call schar olam haba, through doing physical things in this world? Asher holchu b'derech chachmei ha'mechkar v'heim ha'philosophim, asher zacharnu lamala, as we mentioned earlier, this is one of the great questions that the philosophers have explored. Yitnu sham v'tiferes, yitnu sham v'tiferes el ha'secha. That the philosophers really gave all of the value of a person to one's mind, to one's intellect. There wasn't so much of an emphasis on actions, certainly not physical actions that involve very physical things of this world, items of the physical world. Right? The philosophers gave great credit to a person who develops his ideas, the mind and the ideas. That's where they gave chashivas to. And the philosophers believe that to the degree that one's mind is developed, a person acquires their eternity. And when we say philosophers, by the way, we're talking about Jewish philosophers as well. Right? The Rambam understood that if you have a corrupt understanding of the principles of Jewish faith, so that's going to block you from getting into Olam Haba. Now you say, well, I didn't learn. Sometimes a person will wonder, why is that fair? Just because I didn't have the right ideas, so therefore I can't get into Olam Haba? So some explain, it's the same way that a person who doesn't have the qualifications to go to college can't get into college. Right? If you don't understand that 2 plus 2 is 4, then you're not going to be admitted into a college. It's not because you're not a good guy. It's just that you don't have the background, you don't have the skill set, you don't have the knowledge to be able to enter into that place of study. So in a similar fashion, Lahavdil, if a person doesn't have the right ideas, it can be a blockage in a person getting into Olam Haba. So the philosophers are very interested in the development of the mind, in the development of one's ideas, and in that way a person acquires their eternity. V'yasu ha-maisim ha-yisharim v'atovim kamo techuna v'sulam asher yagia behen elam ischalos. And really all action is really just a stepping stone. It's a hecha timsa to be able to climb to deeper understanding of things. But the goal is to really graduate from sort of the activities of physical doing and to become a person who's just entirely intellectual. Umizeh ha-sulam naflu. But from that ladder themselves, they have fallen. V'anachnu talmidei Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom. But those of us who've climbed the ladder of Torah and mitzvos, where we believe that what? That the rungs in the ladder, the maiseh ha-mitzvos, actually are of great importance. Right? While those who've, again, tried to live in a world of abstract philosophy have crumbled, those of us who cling to the actions of Torah and mitzvot have chosen the proper path. Now, why is that so, and how does that work? Va'ikar asher heviyum lezeh, and the reason that the philosophers came to this, shayaruchuk mehem shia maisa hagash mihatzlachas hanefesh hanivdal. They couldn't understand how a physical act is able to, right, a thing that is so temporary in this world, to take something which is so limited in its ability and its usage in this world, should somehow acquire eternity, a spiritual abstract eternity. Again, look at the words. Rachuk mehem, it was far-fetched in the eyes of the philosophers that a maisa gashmi, that a physical act, should somehow grant hatzlachas hanefesh hanivdal, should somehow be able to determine the success of the soul, which is abstract, which is spiritual, which is not part of the physical world. And therefore they almost mocked and they abandoned the actions of mankind and chose to rely entirely on the mind, on the realm of ideas, on the seichel. Says the Maharal, V'hine lo racha kul adam, she'efshar liknos ha'atzlacha haruchanis al yedei ha'maisim ha'tovim. It's not far-fetched at all. Let's talk about those mitzvos that do make sense to us, right? The mitzvos that themselves do seem to be more spiritual. Let's not take the example of the food that we eat, kashrus. Maybe that's very physical. Let's not talk about the lulav that we shake or the ram's horn that we blow. That seems taking a very physical object. Let's talk about the more spiritual mitzvos. Let's talk about the mitzvos that seem to be of a more holy nature, right? Things that, you know, we perceive as understanding. We think we understand them. Kama ha'tfila, v'habakasha, ularachim ala brios bitztaka, v'lasos din u'mishpat, v'lahov es amiso, v'shalo la'avod alohim acherim, v'shalo la'vayach es Hashem, v'shalo ligzol v'lachmos v'lishvoch dam. He's mixing a mix of ben adam l'makom, ben adam l'chavero, but the mitzvot that to us, they feel like they're something. Right, the mitzvos that are spiritual in nature. Shatness, I don't understand what shatness is. I'm going to get, my soul's going to gain eternal reward for not mixing linen and wool. Why? But when I talk to God and I have a relationship with God, that makes sense. When I do acts of charity and acts of righteousness, that makes sense. When I show love to my fellow Jews, that makes sense that there's something spiritual about that. Not serving other gods, not cursing Hashem, not stealing, not being deceitful in my business practices, not spilling blood. These things, we understand why God likes them, and now he's sort of blurring the line of those two questions. The question of how do physical actions impact our eternity, and how do we make sense of mitzvahs we don't understand. So again, it almost makes sense to us that a person could earn an olam haba from the things that make sense, from the mitzvahs that make sense, the things that make sense that God would want us to do. Shelo likach shochar, I shouldn't take bribes. Ulegalos arayos, I shouldn't be involved in sexually immoral activity. Those types of things, while they are rooted, again, so much in physicality, many of them, nonetheless, they're spiritual in nature. It seems like the type of thing that a God would want a moral human being to live by. Sh'amitzvah shi la'avod Hashem Yisbarach k'tfila u'bakasha v'yisrachik mi'la'avod Elohei Nechar. The fact that Hashem wants us to have a relationship with Him, to communicate with Him, to daven to Him, to talk to Him, right? To be involved, like we learned, tefillah, which is an avodah shebalev, and to distance myself from foreign gods. It makes sense that kulam tchuna lenefesh, lezachich osal letaro sami pchisa sachomer. It makes sense that having a relationship with God, who Himself is very abstract to us, who's not physical, it makes sense that there should be a spiritual reward. By talking to Hashem, by connecting to Hashem, by distancing myself from idols, which is attaching myself to physical gods, by attaching myself to a spiritual god, it makes sense that that refines a person, it makes sense that that frees me from physical trappings, and allows me to receive a spiritual word. That makes sense. V'tzorach l'hashiv ha'nefesh b'poel, v'la'asos osa ruchanis al yedei zichuch ha'nefesh, u'leidavik bo yizbarach al yedei ha'avoda elav. So there's certain types of things that, again, it feels, it makes sense to us that through this process I'm cleansing my soul, I'm serving Hashem, and I'm attaching myself to Hashem. In other words, and the Maharal develops it in other Svarim as well, in his Nesiv HaAvoda, the idea that Avodas Hashem is Dveikus BaHashem. That's what he's saying here. Lidavik bo yizbarach al yedei ha'avodei lov. By serving him, I cling to him. So it makes sense on a certain level that when I'm involved in the things that are godly by nature, taking care of the poor, communicating with God, being just, being honest, loving people, not spilling blood, not being dishonest in my business practices, those seem like the types of things that a righteous God himself would live by. And therefore, when we live by them, we cling to Hashem and we're successful. Successful meaning that our souls are lifted above our physicality, and it makes sense that we should have a spiritual reward. Shezeu tachlis ha'atzlacha. After all, this seems to be the purpose. This seems to be the purpose of success. This seems to be the goal of our success. Kamosha made a love akasavaisa nefesh adonit surura bitzura chayim as Hashem alokecha. To cling to Hashem, to be bound up with the bound of life, which is Hashem himself. Vehefech ze ha'avadon. And the opposite of this, which is failure and disintegration of life itself, the crumbling of things, the breakdown of things, like we spoke about in the previous parak, when there's a lack of Seder, and again, Seder means the Seder hasichli, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded us through the mitzvos. Whether you understand them or not, this is the order by which your soul is going to be healthy. So when a person does the opposite of these things, and there's a spiritual breakdown, it makes sense that what is the penalty? Again, if Avodas Hashem is Dveikus BaHashem, if doing mitzvot is clinging to Hashem, so when I do the opposite, Hu HaChrisa V'HaPirud Mimenu Yisbarach, so then it's what we call kares. It doesn't have to be a categorical kares, like not having a bris milah or sleeping with a nida or eating chametz on Pesach. It doesn't have to be that type of kares, but every aveira is a miniature form of kares. Why? Because it's a pirud mimenu yizbarach. It's distancing oneself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, this is the order by which you connect to me. So when you do the opposite of that, you disconnect from me. Right? Makes a lot of sense. Kamosha amar b'chol makom, as we explain about, again, spiritual breakdown, the pasuk says, hichares tichares. I had a double lashon of karis. Upirshu chachamim, tichares, tichares ba'olam haba. Not only will you experience karis in this world, but you will also have spiritual excision in Olam Haba. Right? You'll destroy this world. Your life will be a wreck in this world because you're not living with the Seder HaSichli of Hashem, and you'll be cut off from Olam Haba. In other words, you're cut off from Hashem. Nimtza HaSchar. So, you know, in summation, what are we saying? What we're saying is that the Schar is clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Onesh is being cut away and pirud from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Attachment to Hashem is Avodas Hashem, and Averos is cutting oneself off from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. V'davar zeh barur b'li safech, l'kol adam baldas ki ha'nefesh hazos shehi min Hashem yizbarach. My daughter's here and she's looking for something. That's why I keep smiling. Yes, what do you need, my dear?
I need the charger.
Okay, take the charger. Go for it. Okay. Tonight's year is sponsored by Zahava Liba Weinberg. She's very respectful. She's trying not to get on the screen. Oh, there she is. Okay.
Bye.
No problem. Okay, good. So v'davarze bar b'li safek l'chol adam baldas ki ha'nefesh hazos shehi min Hashem yizbarach tzarech la'ashiva al Hashem yizbarach asher nasna. The goal is that my soul should be able to come back to Hashem in the way that it's meant to be. In other words, it's one of the scariest things. We don't think about it enough. But if you read, let's say, the Gra's commentary on Yonah. Anyone ever study the Gra on Yonah? Ever see the Gra on Yonah? It's amazing. The Vilna Gaon on Sefer Yonah reads all of Sefer Yonah. Art School did a very nice translation of it. The Gra itself is very difficult, very terse. His language is hard to decipher. But the Gra on Yonah, the Vilna Gaon took Sefer Yonah and he read it allegorically as a mashal. That Yonah being sent on his mission to the city of Nineveh to tell them to do tshuva and to try to help them be metaken is the neshama being sent on a mission to this world. Now, it's absolutely terrifying. The Gra brings many sources in the Zohar to describe the fear that the neshama has of coming to this world. It's terrifying. Think about it. Here you are, a neshama that's sitting tachas kisei hakavod, enjoying the presence of Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm sending you to a world that's the opposite of your entire being. You're an entirely spiritual being. I'm going to put you in captivity in a physical body. I'm going to send you into a world of physical desires and physical temptations and physical actions. And then Hashem says, why on earth would I want to do that? And Hashem says, well, you know, you're going to do a great job down there. And when you come back, you're going to come back and it's going to be, you'll appreciate that much more what it is to be in the spiritual world. Right now you're getting, you know, handouts in the spiritual world. I want you to go earn it. So it's not a disgrace for you to enjoy the rewards of spiritual existence. And then when you come back, you'll really be able to enjoy it. You'll free yourself in the language of the Zohar from the Nahama de Chisufa, the shameful bread. Right, the bread that you haven't earned, the handout that you're being given. So go to this world, win some battles, and come back as a warrior, a celebrated warrior, as your neshama returns. So says the Maharal, it's a davar barur, it's very clear to us, that b'li safek, without any doubt, to every person who's a thinking person, ki ha-nefesh hazos shehi min Hashem Yisbarach tzarech la-shiva el Hashem Yisbarach asher nasna. We want to give back the soul to Hashem as it was given to us. As the Pasuk says in Koheles, v'yashuv ha'ofer ala aretz, that the body, the dust, goes back to earth, kishahaya as it was, v'haruach tashuv elokim, and the soul returns to God. Koheles perek yud beis. V'davar ze'eino ki im b'tayra mipchis ha'sachomri. So obviously when the neshama comes back, it wants to come back freed from physicality. And that's why the Gemara Moed Katan describes, how many ways are there to die? Totsaos. 903 ways to die, the Gemara says. What's the best way to die? Nishika. Nishika, the kiss of death. Like Moshe, like Aaron, like Miriam. Right, what's the worst way to die? Askara. The Gemara gives a mashal. The Gemara says, dying with Nishika is like drawing a hair, if a little hair falls into your cereal. It's like taking a hair out of a bowl of milk. Right? Not too painful. Askara, taking the soul back through a process called Askara, which is how Talmid Rabbi Akiva died in the Gemara in Yevamah, Daf Samach Beis. Askara, the Gemara says, is like trying to pull. Imagine you have a boat, and you have like an iron rung, and you have a sailor's knot tied very tightly, so that the rope will not be pulled through the rung. And imagine just tugging at that rope until eventually, you know, the thick rope starts to shred, and slowly, slowly it frays until finally it gives way and is able to break through. So the tzaddikim explain, if you're a person who's a spiritual person, giving back your soul is like taking a hair out of a bowl of milk. It's not hard. Your neshama wants to go home. Your neshama feels like a total stranger in this world. So when the time comes to go back to a totally spiritual existence, it's gevaldik. You're so happy to go back. But if your life is a physical world, you know, you like a hot dog on a Sunday and you like watching a ball game, and I'm not saying these are the worst things in the world, but if your whole life is made up of physical pleasures, of cheap physical pleasures, it's hard to die. It's much harder to die because your neshama is sort of being held captivity in this world because the body wants to live on. The body enjoys, you know, physical existence. So says the Maharal, again, a thinking person knows that the soul wants to go back to Hashem. The neshama goes back to the higher realms. The body goes to the dirt. The neshama goes to the higher realms. V'davar zeh eino ki im b'tayra mipchisas hachomri u'mitzarei from mezachech nafsho min hachomri. And the way to do this, again, is to make sure that neshama is a healthy neshama. As we've been learning, there's only one way to have a healthy neshama. The way to have a healthy neshama is to what? Is to make sure that the Torah and mitzvos is not for you. That you enjoy the system that Hashem has programmed us to live by. You're not burdened by it. You enjoy it. You like davening. Going to shul is a pleasurable experience. And Shabbos is a pleasurable experience. And Yontif is a pleasurable experience. And eating kosher, even though it can be expensive sometimes, but you take pride in that. You wear your tzitzis proudly. And you're excited to be a yid. V'zeh al-yedeh ha-maisim sh'sidr Hashem yisbarach el ha-adam b'sidr ha-sichli. And again, going back to the language from the previous parak, the only way to do this is to follow the rule book. To follow the Seder HaSichli. Do we understand fully why it works? No. But the people who live by it live the right life, the meaningful life. And they're zochet to a nice portion in the world to come. And it's not so hard for them to let go of this world because they're excited to return to the higher realm. V'heim zichuch nafsho mekar moso al Hashem yizbarach at sha'odim dovuk bo yizbarach. You cling to Hashem more than you cling to anything else. Of all the things you enjoy, what do I like most in my life? My relationship with God. That's what matters most to me. Let's do one more paragraph. V'chol advar matovim. And therefore, all of the good things that a person does, the things that feel godly, kmo tzedakah, velasos mishpat, davar zeh ein tzarech lefarish al yadam, hu zochel atzlacha achrona. Right? It makes sense to me if I'm a moral person, if I do, again, good things, things that seem like, you know, godly things. I live a just life, and I give tzedakah, and I'm involved in proper, you know, what we would call normal ethical behavior. It makes sense that God is happy with me, and I get olam haba for that. V'zeki b'dvar mahim, yesh lo hizdamus v'yachsos al Hashem yisbach. Because you feel like God, when you help a person who's struggling, you should feel like God in that moment. That's not heretical. You should feel like God. You're walking in God's ways. You're being like Hashem. Hashem is the one who's Oseh Chesed and Mishpat and Tzedakah Ba'aretz. So when you're Oseh Chesed and when you're Oseh Mishpat and when you're Oseh Tzedakah, you're like Hashem. As the Gemara says in Sota, the pasuk we just read this past Shabbos, the pasuk says, "Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu." You should walk after Hashem. How do you do that? What does it mean to walk behind Hashem? V'chi efshar li davik b'shchina. How do I cling to the Shechina? How do I cling to God? Ela haloch achar midosa. Try to be like Him. Act like Him. Try to do the types of things that Hashem does. Harei keiz damas elav b'maisim asha efshar nikra halicha achrav. V'halicha achrav hu divak bo yizbarach. When you act like Him, then you're walking after Him. And when you're walking after Him, you're clinging to Him. And when you're clinging to Him, you're clinging to the source of life itself. Ki ro'ev hezdamus be'ein safek lahavi achibur. Because when you act like someone, you connect to someone. Right? It's such a true idea. When you act like someone, it can be someone who you actually have no relationship with. But when you try, you know, I love watching like a little kid, you know, wearing a LeBron James jersey, like practicing his moves. You know, a seven-year-old kid practicing his moves in his driveway. And of course he knows he's not, you know, he's not in the NBA. But for a moment, like, he's so lost in the character that he's playing that there's a chibur, there's an attachment there, right? When he takes the shot, he doesn't say, you know, Schwartz takes the shot. He says, LeBron hits the shot, right? He knows he's not LeBron James. But for a moment, because he's trying to be like someone, so there's a chibur. Mamela, when you try to act like someone, you attach yourself to someone. Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld used to talk about the concept of being intoxicated by association. What does that mean? You walk into a party of people who've been drinking, and you haven't had anything to drink, but you start acting drunk. Why? It's subconscious. It's not even just trying to fit in. But when you're around people who act a certain way, you become a kusher to that, you become connected to that, and mamela, you start to act the way. And it's not just trying to fit in with the crowd. There's a biological response that takes place when you're in a room of people who are drunk, that you start to feel drunk. It's an amazing thing. Rabbi Freifeld spoke about that in the context of who do we attach ourselves to. So therefore, says the Maharal, when you try to act like Hashem, so you become like Hashem. And therefore, what you emphasize your spirituality over your physicality. Hashem doesn't have a body, and you also elevate yourself above your body. Last line for tonight. Kashar timsa dvarm hadomim yesh lem chibur yachad. When we find like similar things, like-minded things, so mamela, there's a chibur. You marry a person who you have things in common with, right? You associate with friends who you have similar values to. You like similar things. V'advar mashem asher heim hafachim zelazeh, i'efshar shim tso yachad. But things which are opposites, you don't find them spending much time together. They're not deeply connected. V'davar zeh ein sarach raya, and I don't need to prove this to you, says the Maharal, because we all know it from our experience. We like being around people who have similar values or similar interests. And we feel sometimes, you know, put off by a person who thinks so differently or acts so differently. So all the more so when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we act like Hashem, we become like Hashem. So again, in answer to the question, the Maharal is beginning to answer the question. The philosophers ask the question, how do we become spiritual, how do we earn a spiritual Olam Haba through physical activity? So the Maharal is going step by step. Step number one, many of the mitzvahs that we do, even though they're physical in nature, but they feel godly. Giving tzedakah feels godly. Davening feels godly. There's certain things that we feel that we're connecting to Hashem in those things. And from there, we can use that as a raya. We go further to say, and what about those things that I don't really understand how they're spiritual? Well, the same way that one of the mitzvahs is tefillah, and one of the mitzvahs is tzedakah, and one of the mitzvahs is don't bow down to other gods, and those feel spiritual, so it must be that even though I don't really understand it, when Hashem says, don't eat this type of fish, or Hashem says, don't wear this type of garment, or Hashem says, walk around on this holiday shaking a palm frond, it must be that that's also a spiritual act, even though to our physical eyes, it appears to be a very simple physical act. Okay, let's stop here for tonight. Mir Tz Hashem will continue Tuesday night, and